Hey, listeners. Today I'm here with midwife Erin Everett, and we are talking about natural birth in a birth center setting. This is episode 2 of our natural birth setting series. Here's a sneak peek, so stick around.
If I were to have a patient at the freestanding birthing center, of course, like, you know, transferring to a hospital for whatever intervention or if it's an epidural is desired, it's, you know, we would never tell someone no.
Of course.
But they knew that it would be some time before they could get that. And if there's something that could be done at the birthing center to help them, they would often opt to like try that first.
Hi, I'm Rachel Manns, owner of The Natural Birth Site and this podcast, The Natural Birth Talk. Here, you'll learn all about different natural aspects of birth, pregnancy, and postpartum. Remember, none of this information should take the place of a care provider and is not medical advice. Birth is not a medical emergency. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. I'm Rachel, and today I am here with midwife Erin Everett, and we are talking about having a natural birth in a birth center setting. But before we get started, I'll let her introduce herself.
Hey there, I'm Erin Everett. I am a nurse midwife. I first became a nurse back in 2011, and I got my master's degree in 2016, and in 2017 received my doctorate in nursing. I previously worked as a midwife with a freestanding birthing center mm-hmm. that did home birth, birth center birth, or hospital birth, depending on the patient's preference or risk criteria. Mm-hmm. And I currently, and for the past 3 years, have worked at a in-hospital birthing center offering either in-hospital birth center birth or hospital traditional labor and delivery births, usually based off of risk criteria.
Okay. So you have a lot of experience in natural birth and medicated birth as well, but we're here to talk about natural birth today. And you have kind of just a full range of experience with that. You've worked in pretty much every setting that would have a natural birth. Mm-hmm. What I really want to talk about is the birth center setting specifically. Before we get started and really what a birth in a birth center setting would look like, let's quickly compare and contrast a freestanding birth center to an in-hospital birth center, if that's okay, because I think some people don't understand that there are differences.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. I think depending on what your criteria are or what you know, each individual person's experience, this mm-hmm. could end up being a very lengthy description.
Probably, but that's okay.
Both with a freestanding birthing center and our in-hospital birthing center. Now, of course, this is related to my own personal experiences working in these two specific facilities. Uh-huh. We encourage early labor at home. And this is typically with communication with the midwife that you, mm-hmm. is caring for you, discussing how frequent contractions or waves are, whether someone's water has broken or not, how they're coping at home, what kind of things at home they have to help them cope with labor, mm-hmm. and maybe how far away they live from yeah. the birthing center. So when it's decided that it's time to come in, it's mm-hmm. usually something that's mutually agreed upon with the midwife and the client. Although, of course, like the client kind of always gets that final say on whether they prefer to stay home longer or they prefer mm-hmm. to come in. So when they come in, the midwife would meet them, see how things are going, and either make a plan, send that patient mm-hmm. back home, or admit the patient in active labor or for whatever they need. Later, or while the patient is there, both places would use a Doppler to listen to the baby's heartbeat.
Which is just like a little handheld monitor, right? It's not the straps and the big machine.
Right. It's really just a handheld machine that's typically the same thing that's used at prenatal visits. Uh-huh. Just to listen to the baby. And this is about every 30 minutes to an hour, depending on whether this patient is already in active labor or not, or okay. maybe more frequently if the patient is in the second stage of labor or like feeling an urge to push.
Okay.
And then both places would get vital signs, and this would be like checking blood pressure, checking the mother's temperature, checking the mother's pulse, those kind of things. And then really, you know, you kind of just let things happen at their own pace. Mm-hmm. I have frequently at both places recommended trying the tub, trying different positions, and we'll often refer to like spinningbabies.com to look at, you know, what might work best for this particular person based off of what they're feeling or where they're feeling certain sensations. Mm-hmm. The shower is also a great option.
Absolutely.
And I would say that partner involvement is really important in both of these settings, or if not partner, that client support person.
Yeah. Or doula, because I know most of the time birth centers recommend doulas too.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So let's see.
What would like some differences be between the two, the freestanding and the in-hospital?
Differences could be a couple of things. This might be whether someone risked in or out of this particular setting. So in a freestanding birth center, sometimes things are a little bit easier to meet criteria. This might be like a freestanding birth center maybe has a, like in my own personal experience, did not have a pre-pregnancy BMI criteria.
Okay. And, so that's like basically a body weight. You didn't really have a body weight criteria. Okay.
Right. Right. There was no like maximum minimum criteria in order to meet criteria for the freestanding birthing center, whereas the in-hospital birthing center does have a maximum criteria.
Okay.
For pre-pregnancy. Other things, it might be easier to get into an in-hospital birthing center. And this would come into play with mothers who are on antidepressants.
Okay.
So in my previous practice for patients who needed an antidepressant, we certainly recommended that that was, you know, if that was needed for that person, absolutely, we were all for it, but that person could not birth in our freestanding birthing center if they were on that medication.
Because so usually babies of moms who are on an antidepressant need a little more help, or not, I shouldn't say usually, but sometimes babies of moms who are on an antidepressant need a little more help after they're born.
Exactly. Sometimes not super common, but we know that it is an increased risk, can possibly increase the risk of the baby needing support breathing immediately after birth. So for that reason, people hoping for a birth in a freestanding birthing center would usually either look at other options to treat their depression or anxiety, or would choose not to use their medication or change their plan for place of birth.
Yeah.
But the in-hospital birthing center, those things would still meet criteria for the birthing center. So what we would do instead is if a person were on an antidepressant and in labor, we would be able to have a NICU nurse practitioner come to the birth and be available if they're needed.
Now, which of course, is a huge benefit.
Absolutely. Yes. So kind of, you know, helps someone be able to have the birth environment that they want, but with the additional help that they need or might need.
Yeah. I knew what you meant. Some other things I thought of just as you were talking was with certain in-hospital birth centers, if you have gestational diabetes, with some, if it's diet controlled, you can still birth in the birth center. And with others, you'll have to go upstairs. Right. And to the labor and birth unit. Whereas I know a lot of freestanding ones, as long as it's diet controlled, you can kind of stay in the freestanding birth center usually. Now, we're talking about the ones we're comparing in our area. I know that each one is going to have slightly different rules. Right. But these are just some potential differences. Another one is sometimes meconium, which is the baby's first poo. I know sometimes in an in-hospital birth center, that's an immediate transfer to the labor and birth floor. But in a freestanding birth center, if we see meconium, then likely the mom is still going to stay and birth there. A benefit of the hospital birth center is that a lot of times they take insurance or have more insurance options, whereas the freestanding ones don't always have that as an option, right?
Right.
And then I think a really big difference, and you've probably noticed this too, is the in-hospital birth centers have a higher transfer rate for pain relief because it's a lot easier to transfer to get an epidural versus the freestanding ones. You have to kind of jump through some hoops to transfer for pain relief.
Yes, I can definitely attest to that. So if I were to have a patient at the freestanding birthing center, of course, like, you know, transferring to a hospital for whatever intervention or if it's an epidural is desired, it's, you know, we would never tell someone no.
Of course.
But they knew that it would be some time before they could get that. And if there's something that could be done at the birthing center to help them, they would often opt to like try that first, since transferring to a hospital, getting in a vehicle is just not fun when you're in labor.
Absolutely. That vehicle, that car ride is no fun.
But when you are already within a hospital, there is still some time that it takes. And we do try to let patients like just try to be realistic about how long it might take to get that. Let's just say for simplicity's sake, an epidural, but they see it as more of an option. I will, however, say, though, that nitrous oxide, using that, drives a lot of people, and they do like that, having that as an option as well. Yes. Of course, nitrous oxide can be given in an out-of-hospital birthing center. It's just the one I worked at didn't have it at the time. So,
yeah, but that is a good thing to point out too. Some may have that nitrous oxide and some may not, and that is a great option. So clearly there are pros and cons to both type of birth center, and the audience just gets to decide what's best for them. If the birth center route is the way they want to go, we kind of already talked about what a birth might look like in a birthing center, but I would like to get a little more specific if that's okay. Like maybe if there's a, oh, actually you were saying you had a birth at a freestanding birth center and an in-hospital birth center. Do you want to like talk about that?
Yeah, I can definitely talk about that. So really neither of my births needed much intervention. So prenatal care with my first, I had really very minimal prenatal care, and that was based off of my preference. I chose not to get a formal ultrasound because it was not required and I didn't feel like it was necessary. Okay. Although I did have complications later that necessitated a more specific ultrasound, which certainly was available. My midwife was able to order it and I had it at a ultrasound facility.
Okay.
With my out-of-hospital birth, this was my first baby.
Okay.
I went into labor very early morning. My water had broken, although interestingly enough, I did not know it had happened. I thought I felt the pop, but it didn't occur to me that maybe my water was broken.
That's funny.
So I spent probably like 3 to 4 hours at home before I decided that I was ready to go to the birthing center. So of course, this was right at 7 a.m. We drove in rush hour traffic 45 minutes to our birthing center, but this is okay. I planned for this. I knew this was a possibility and I chose to leave my house at that time. We arrived at the birthing center. I asked them to have the tub filled up before I got there, which it was. I got straight into the tub. And then maybe about like 45 minutes later, I asked my midwife to check me. And I want to say I was around like 7 or 8 centimeters. So fantastic. Okay. Things were moving well. It wasn't too long before I want to say I was like 9 and a half. And this was all me requesting these checks. It wasn't necessarily that my midwife was saying I needed to be checked.
Okay.
I liked the information and wanted to know.
And that's a huge benefit to birth centers in general, is that the midwives are usually a lot less antsy to do exams. Hey everyone, Rachel Manns here, and today I have something I'm thrilled to share with you guys. Imagine having a treasure trove of informative, entertaining, and empowering video content about the journey to parenthood right at your fingertips. That's exactly what you get with Informed Pregnancy Plus. For less than 25 cents a day, that's a quarter, guys, you'll gain access to a vast subscription library filled with documentary films, web series, mind and body fitness programs, workshops, and courses covering fertility to parenting and everything in between. Designed for new and expectant parents, as well as pregnancy and birth professionals, Informed Pregnancy Plus is like having a trusted BFF and doctor in one, guiding you through every step of the path to and through parenthood.
A few of just my favorite titles are obviously The Business of Being Born, Empowered Mama, Belly Dance for Birth, How Fun Is That?, Ease into Sleep, The Afterbirth Plan, and The Core Connection, an extremely well-presented and informative workshop teaching you about your core and pelvic floor and how to keep them healthy. And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can gain full access absolutely free. Just visit informedpregnancy.tv to sign up. Sign up for Informed Pregnancy Plus right now. I'm not kidding, guys. It's really going to help you out. It's my prescription for your informed and empowered parenting journey, all from the comfort of your home. Visit informedpregnancy.tv. That's informedpregnancy.tv, and the link will be in the description below. Now back to the show.
Yeah, definitely more hands off. So let's see. Things kind of slowed down from there for me. I would have an intermittent urge to push and I would try many different positions. My midwife gave me many suggestions that I very much hated her for at the time because they hurt.
Right.
they're effective and helpful. So I started to direct my pushing a little bit more after a while because I didn't have that like continuous urge to push.
Uh-huh.
And I was starting to get tired. An epidural or transferring to the hospital never occurred to me. And my baby's heartbeat every time they would check it was great. So
good.
We just kept on moving along. And then eventually I wasn't really making a ton of progress with pushing. So I asked for some help.
Okay.
And this included just trying a different position and even doing a little bit more directed pushing in kind of like a semi-Walters position.
Yeah. So you were like laying on your back kind of with your feet dangling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this worked well for me and I did end up pushing, I want to say for like maybe another 3 hours, I had my baby. And everything was great. Delayed cord clamping. He did really well. He actually has a congenital anomaly.
Okay.
And a part of me is kind of happy we had our birth out of hospital. Like in retrospect, I know that with his particular congenital anomaly, things could have been more complicated and it's possible that he would have needed more help. But in his situation, he didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you want to hear about this because I think this might be complicating things.
I actually think that's really interesting because that is something to keep in mind is that, you know, being in a hospital, they might clamp that cord and swoop off a baby, but being in a birthing center, they keep that cord attached and they're a little more patient simply because that's the best option in that situation.
I don't necessarily think that would have been the case. And I think that's mostly because I have had babies born here with congenital anomalies that are obvious, and I have not noticed any like jumping to like intervene related to those congenital anomalies. So I wouldn't necessarily say so. I think what I was more happy about was that because my son at the time was like clinically stable, his heart rate was regular, they didn't jump to like, we should do a heart echo or we should refer to genetics or plastic surgery. And I just didn't want to like deal with all of that chaos right then. I was happy that we were able to stay in this like honeymoon period.
Yes.
And I was able to save some of the worry for the following weeks.
And that is a huge benefit because you want to let those hormones flow and do all that bonding. And I'm sure that really benefited your baby probably too, honestly.
Yeah, I think so. So just a little bit of less stress right in the beginning. This, you know, certainly could be different for different situations. I think that if they had known, and because there was an increased risk of heart defects, risk of breathing issues, that if we had known, I definitely would have chosen a hospital birth in order to have those things available.
Yeah.
But sometimes ignorance is bliss. And in retrospect, I'm happy with the whole situation.
Well, and honestly, you know, I like to look at situations like that and think, you know, if she had needed to be in the hospital, her mother's intuition probably would have kicked in.
I think a lot of times that happens, you know, sometimes something happens in labor that really kind of points you in the direction that you need to go.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a huge part of birth in general, is just like that intuition and listening to your body and everything. That's a little bit off topic though. So yeah. Before we move on to your next son's birth, really quickly, I wanted to mention that in both situations, freestanding birth centers and in-hospital birth centers are usually run by nurse midwives, right?
In Missouri, yes. Although some other states, CPMs do freestanding birthing centers. In-hospital birthing centers are always going to be either OBs or certified nurse midwives.
Nurse midwives. So that's just something to kind of keep in mind too. I actually didn't realize, well, maybe I did, that professional midwives can run birth centers. I think it's a little bit harder in most states, but again, that's a little bit of a digression, but just kind of knowing, you know, if it matters to you, if you're having a professional midwife or a nurse midwife, that's just one more thing to look at as far as comparing like that freestanding to an in-hospital.
Right. So after the birth, we ended up staying for about 3 or 4 hours and we drove ourselves home that evening. And then the next day, although I was out of their technical range because I worked there, they made an exception. And one of the nurses came to our home to do our follow-up visit about a day and a half later.
That's awesome. And so that doesn't happen with hospital birth centers usually.
Right. All of our clients in the in-hospital birthing center have to return for that visit if they're choosing to go home. If they want, they could also choose to stay in the hospital instead.
Yeah. On the postpartum floor.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We just keep coming up with different like differences between the two as we talk.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, you know, a big point of this episode. So it works. So you had a wonderful experience in the freestanding birth center. It was a lot of pushing, it sounds like, but you and your midwife worked together to still bring baby out. And you got, you know, that really close skin to skin, which is so common in birth centers in general, and delayed cord clamping. Those are always the goals of birth centers, I believe. So that's awesome. And then your second baby was born at the in-hospital birth center, though, because that's where you worked at the time, right?
Right. So with my second birth, I started laboring during the night and I had a toddler to think about at this time. So I had my mother-in-law and my mom come to our home and we just basically sat on the couch and I had irregular contractions, but in between we were just kind of chatting and watching a movie. At some point I decided to move to, and I had just texted my midwife partner that was on and told her I was in labor. I'll talk to you eventually.
Yep.
So I eventually moved on to my hands and knees, and within like, I think 2 contractions, I felt my water break and I felt like we needed to leave.
Yep.
So we hopped in the car and drove to the hospital. On the way, of course, like hospital parking lot has like 4 stop signs. So I told my husband, if he really loved me, he would run the stop sign.
Of course.
Which he did.
Good. Good for him.
My midwife and nurse met us at the door and they gave me a wheelchair because it was kind of a decent walk to the birthing center. So they wheeled us into the room. I had asked them to fill the tub. So I got right into the tub again, and it wasn't too long before I started feeling an urge to push and he was born. I did have a little bit of trouble with him, not like stuck, but just not having an urge to push after his head was out. So thankfully my midwife was able to help me out with that. And he was born. He was a little stunned. So in this case, we moved. I just like carried the baby to the bed where I laid down and they started to stimulate him. He was taking a little bit to cry. And so in the meantime, they were bringing a infant warmer into the room so that they could provide oxygen if he needed it. Mm-hmm. But thankfully that wasn't necessary. He kind of perked up on his own, started crying and did really well. And then in this same instance, we went home a few hours later and we came back the next day for a checkup for he and I. So
awesome. So you had 2 wonderful experiences in 2 different types of birthing centers, slightly different, but for the most part, they're so similar just the setup of the birthing centers and the way everything works. And it really comes down to where mom is most comfortable, or for some people, where their insurance is going to cover, or risk factors. You know, there's a lot of things, but just because one denies you doesn't mean you shouldn't reach out to the other. Or just because you know someone who delivered at one and loved it doesn't mean you shouldn't go check out the other. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the unfortunate fact is that not everybody has access to birth centers. Just we're lucky in our St. Louis area that we have both kinds. We have a third one actually working on popping up here kind of soon, but some people don't have any. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, it's not an option at all. But for the people that it is an option, we've given them lots of different tips on knowing the difference and what it might be like. Is there anything that you want to add before we finish up? It's okay if not.
I don't think so. I think we kind of covered all the main points. I mean, of course, there's so much more to it.
Of course.
I would definitely say, even if you think that you wouldn't be able to, I think that, you know, try to just talk to different people, do your research, and do whatever feels really right for you. I think it's also important that both parents, if there are two, be in agreement on that birth location. Mm-hmm. I, you know, with my first, I wanted a home birth, and my husband was not on board with that. And I knew that it was important for him to be comfortable with our birth setting, because if things did get more complicated, you know, was he going to resent that situation that I had put him in?
Which, and getting more complicated is super rare, like super rare and low risk.
Exactly.
Moms. But
right. Yeah, I tend to be that little person that like thinks about all of those possibilities, but and I'm sure everyone feels like this, like feels like they can make an educated decision when you know all the facts. You can decide whatever you feel like you're comfortable with and what you feel like is best.
Yes.
I don't know that I have anything else, I guess.
Okay, that's okay.
You know, there really are benefits to both.
Always trust your instincts, right? If your instincts are telling you one is better than the other, then go with it, right? And that's a huge way to help choose and know all the facts and know what's going to work with you. And I love how you brought up your husband and how the partner's opinion plays a role too, because that's a really important thing to consider. I think that we've given awesome tips, maybe with a few digressions on my part, but that's okay. And if the audience out there has any questions, guys, go ahead and reach out to me at contact@thenaturalbirthsite.com. And I'm happy to answer any questions. But Erin, thank you so much for being here today and chatting with us. And I really look forward to releasing this episode. I think it'll really help the audience. So
thank you so much. It was lovely to be here.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to this podcast and head over to my site, thenaturalbirthsite.com, to check out my blog, shop, email list, and YouTube channel. Thanks. Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to and rate this podcast and head over to thenaturalbirthsite.com to check out our online natural birth education course, birth story blog, YouTube channel, and more.